Welcome to the Domestic Fuel Cast, a podcast devoted to news and information about alternative fuels and energy, produced and hosted by Zimcom New Media.
Pushing back against the pushback against the RFS. I'm John Davis reporting. A new coalition forms to fight back against the push against the renewable fuel standard, a fight prompted by the drought and the pressure the drought is causing on the most common feedstock for ethanol, corn. During a recent news conference, former congressman and now CEO of the Biotechnology Industry Organization, or BIO, Jim Greenwood explains the new coalition dubbed Fuels America has a diverse group of interests, including renewable fuels, national security, renewable energy, and other stakeholders. Growth Energy, the Renewable Fuels Association, the American Coalition for Ethanol, the National Corn Growers Association, BIO, and the Advanced Ethanol Council are part of Fuels America, as well as several biofuel companies such as DuPont, POET, and Novozymes.
The purpose is to defend the renewable fuel standards and all of the various and significant economic, employment, environmental, and national security benefits that have derived from them.
Fuels America will start advertising in Washington, D.C. and several states, including Colorado, Ohio, Delaware, and Montana.
Our ultimate goal is to make sure that every member of Congress, every critical person in this administration and whichever administration takes over next year, as well as governors and other policymakers at the state level, understand the points that we've made today, and that this is a critical renewable fuel standard is critical to our America's leadership, brings the benefits that it has brought us, and we've reiterated those in the call this morning, and that any thought of undoing it would do long and lasting and essentially unnecessary harm to what is the bright future that we envision continuing to create through renewable fuels.
Greenwood makes his case for what renewable fuels, spurred by the RFS, have been able to do for this country.
Since 2005, the renewable fuel standard has been responsible for the creation of 400,000 jobs. It significantly reduced our reliance on imported oil by 25%. 10% of our energy now comes from renewable sources. We've reduced the price of gasoline by over a dollar. We've increased farmers' assets by $500 billion, $500 billion. We have established ourselves as the world's leader when it comes to biofuels, renewable fuels. On the advanced side, where many of my companies are centered, the cellulosic fuels have invested and committed $5 billion for these advanced cellulosic plants. They are online and ready to scale up, but we are facing a wave of opposition recently. Some of that comes from the oil industry, as it has traditionally, but now this opposition has been intensified by requests from governors and certain members of Congress for a waiver of the renewable fuel standards by the EPA, and that has been a direct response of the drought conditions that have put pressures on all farmers, but particularly on the farmers who are in the poultry and other livestock business.
Novozymes President Adam Monroe makes the case that the RFS has helped businesses such as his innovate ways to make renewable energy from other sources more economically feasible.
If we go back to 2007 when this was created, at that time we had been looking into cellulosic biofuels, but when we really got started, it was about $8 a gallon to produce one of these cellulosic gallons, and the enzyme cost was around $5. Well, obviously that's not competitive. But today, we've brought those enzyme costs down by over 90%, so we're under 50 cents a gallon, and the fuel can be made for $2 a gallon or less. That's significant technology innovation and progress. Not only that, but our partners, and we work all over the world, have made significant technology advancements as well. Now, not only can we make fuels from crop waste, But the latest thing, you know, is we can make fuels from the trash truck. We've got a partner whose model is simple. The trash truck that goes by your house doesn't go to the landfill. It comes to their facility. They turn it into fuel and electricity and fertilizer. That's amazing innovation, if you ask me.
Ann Monroe warns that all this talk about waiving the RFS might make innovative businesses think twice about moving forward with new ideas.
Talks of waivers and amendments and to be honest, repeal, that gives us pause as business people. I know that the drought has been awful, and it's hurting everyone. It's including the farmers and the rural communities that rely on renewable fuels. And talks of waiving the RFS just compounds the problem. So if we've put over $1 billion of our own money of investment into this industry and created all the things that I mentioned and Jim mentioned, in an industry where a large portion of those dollars stay in the United States, and some people are talking about potentially taking that away, why would we invest more? It really has to make a business person think twice. So, you know, this policy's created jobs that are right here, right now. It's reduced our dependence on foreign oil, and it's spurred a huge wave of technology and innovation. So let me just finish by saying, look, I think let's don't blink. Let's stay the course. Let the policy work. It has so far.
Marion, Ohio Chamber of Commerce President Pam Hall, whose local area boasts a Poet ethanol plant, echoes those same economic concerns and how it could play a factor in the upcoming election.
It has helped turn our local economy around. We're producing 68 million gallons of ethanol, and we are employing 41 individuals in clean tech jobs that were not previously employed. That's helping, of course, our local and our state tax base. We're an ag-based community. We estimate that about 80% of our land is utilized for the ag industry. We have a lot of beautiful flat ground, and we grow a lot of soybeans and a lot of corn. And so what the ethanol plant has allowed is our regional farmers now have a market hub where they can bring their crops. They're processing like 22 million bushels of corn each year. They have much less distance to travel, and they're receiving a much greater return on their investment. And none of this would happen were it not for the renewable fuel standard. We're not alone in Ohio. There are 6 other ethanol plants operating across our state. And likewise, there's $600 million is being spent on renewable fuel-related industries in our Ohio businesses across the state. As we all know, Ohio's in the news a lot lately. It's an election year, and all eyes seem to be on Ohio. And we're focusing in Ohio our eyes on our ag industry and on growing our state's economy. So for in rural communities in Ohio, like Marion, renewable fuel really is essential to improving our economy. And we believe it has been a key reason for the improvement of our local economy.
And retired Vice Admiral Dennis McGinn, who served this nation in the U.S. Navy for 35 years in peace and in war, and now heads the American Council on Renewable Energy, makes the case for the national security risk a lack of the RFS might raise.
That America's energy posture constitutes a serious and urgent threat to our national security, diplomatically, economically, and militarily, and further, that those who would wish to do the United States harm can exploit our overdependence on fossil fuels. We need only fast forward to earlier this week in the United Nations when we see a guy like President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran with his threats to not just the region, but to global stability, to really understand that the renewable fuel standard makes progress, significant progress, as Congressman Underwood pointed out, in reducing our dependence on imported oil. So for reasons of resiliency, the ability to maintain a certain fuel supply in the face of a volatile global oil market and global instability, we need to continue the renewable fuel standard. And as tough as it is on so many players, should not be cause for us to sway from the course that we've set by the Energy Independence and Security Act and the renewable fuel standard. I often say, how many carrier battle groups or Air Force, Air Wings, or Army divisions or Marine Expeditionary Forces does it take to defend the fields and farms of America from a threat? The answer, zero.
During the conference call, ZIACHEM President and CEO Jim Imbler strongly pushed back against any notion that the RFS has been some kind of subsidy for the renewable fuels industry.
The RFS is a long-term market-based policy that sets a clear roadmap for the advanced biofuels industry through 2022. This 15-year statutory policy has inspired entrepreneurs like myself, promoted project developers, and encouraged private investors to put their hard-earned dollars to work and take an active role in forming this new industry. Ideally, all technologies, whether they're entrenched or emerging like ours, compete on a level playing field. The RFS offers a hand up, not a perpetual handout, to innovate, scale up, and commercialize new technologies. We believe that eventually both biofuels and the oil industry should operate on a subsidy-free basis. That said, we do not support changing the rules in the middle of the game. Companies like ours are putting steel in the ground, hiring workers, and placing orders to the supply chain companies across the U.S., all based on the market realities of the RFS. We're not alone in our region. With a mixture of both agricultural stakeholders and renewable fuel, those that grow the feedstock for both advanced and conventional renewable fuels, as well as clean tech companies like ours that are innovating the next generation of fuels, the value chain of partners has a broad reach throughout the entire U.S. In addition to ethanol, companies like ZIACHEM are also creating additional sustainable products, all of which are typically derived from petroleum sources, and we're doing it right here in the U.S. It is important that our elected leaders stay committed to the law of the land and don't create uncertainty for companies like ours, for our investors, for our employees, or for our supply chain partners. I will end on this point. Any lack of certainty at this time concerning RFS will set a precedence that will not only harm companies like ZIACHEM today, but will also harm future efforts to keep companies like ZIACHEM and the associated domestic investment and job creation benefits here in the U.S.
The Fuels America campaign has already received its first criticism for using the Glover Park Group, a communications consulting firm that was instrumental in the 2008 Food versus Fuel attack campaign against ethanol. Greenwood bristles under one reporter's question about why they chose a firm that actively worked to throw ethanol under the bus in 2008 to pull them out from under the bus now.
I'm not sure I'll buy the last portion of your, the last part of your characterization insofar as being pulled out from under the bus. However, having said that, Glover Park is good. They know the issue. They've changed their focus. And we're glad to have them on our side.
Greenwood also stressed that they have empathy for livestock producers suffering under the drought, but he says there are other ways to address those problems, and tossing out renewable energy's future should not be one of them.
20 years from now, we do not want to see a situation where our children ask, whatever happened to the promise of clean, renewable, domestic fuel, and have to tell our children that, well, that all went away because there was a drought in 2012. There are legitimate ways for policymakers to respond to the current drought conditions, but undermining an important and futuristic looking, important part of our future energy program is not the right way.
I'm John Davis reporting.
You've been listening to the Domestic Fuel Cast, the official podcast of DomesticFuel.com. Check out the website daily for the latest good news about the alternative energy industry.